to tune in to Rob and Evan on Native Son DC.
Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Native Son DC podcast. My name is Evan, or Evan Edmund, as they call me. Fancy Pants Yancey is working the knobs and the levers. Miss Aniko Ola is directly to my right, and Roberto.
Hey, now.
Don't say it.
I know. I stopped short because you can call me Clamato anytime you want, by the way.
I'm just going to tell you that. It doesn't rhyme.
Anyway, I love Clamato, strangely enough.
I don't.
I know. I get that anyway. Anyway, welcome to the show. Yesterday was a sports day of days. Congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers for their, what is it, their
17th.
17th. Mm-hmm. NBA championship, and LeBron James naturally was the MVP. Although I think Anthony Davis should earn an honorable mention. Do you have your hand up, sir?
I do, because I want to ask you one thing, because yes? I thought we might get into that later. And yes, congratulations to them for winning their 17th and tying the Celtics for the most...
The Celtics
for the most ever championships. How many of these championships were actually in Minneapolis? I don't think nearly half of them were in Los Angeles.
I really couldn't tell you.
I can guarantee you they're not.
Oh.
I don't know.
I'm going to do a little research on that, and I'm going to come back to you.
I think a lot of fans today don't realize that the Lakers started in Minnesota.
That's going to be... George Mikan must have won it 15 years in a row or something, because I don't get it.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I have to confess right now.
Right, so the Minnesota is known as the land of 10,000 lakes, although there are quite a few more, actually, than 10,000 lakes in the state of Minnesota. That is a glacial state where everything just retreated, and there are literally about 20 to 25,000 different lakes in Minnesota, and that's what the team was named after. And then they, of course, moved to Los Angeles because there's more money there, and ever since then... they have been sort of the glamour team.
Oh, the Lakers. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, the Lakers.
I think there's also some butter named after it. Is there not? The Lando Lakes?
Oh, stop.
Does that not have to be from there?
I think it might be. I don't know.
We are getting deep into this.
Actually, you're right, though, because Wisconsin, yes, Minnesota, right. that's where cows come from. Anyway, let's go. Listen.
I was a little, you know, I really wanted Miami to have a game seven. I was a little disappointed about the last night's game.
I guess I'm the only LeBron James fan in this room
right
now.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Why? Why are you guys so down on LeBron? Like, what?
I don't know.
Yeah, I
just don't
get
like
it.
Him.
Is he getting too good for your britches?
No, I just don't like his modus operandi. It doesn't fit my gear shifter.
His modus operandi was a burger and a french fry?
It just doesn't work for me, but he's a great player. I mean,
he's
gosh,
an amazing player.
No
it's just,
doubt about it.
Yeah. Is it like his comments, the way he talks, the way he is?
It's just where he chooses to pipe up and be sort of like, I want to be counted now, and then when he chooses to be quiet and be like, it's not for me. It doesn't really mesh.
I don't know. That's an interesting topic for maybe a future show.
Okay.
I'm just going to get this out of the way right now. I cut my own hair a few days ago.
Yay, and it looks great.
It does not look bad.
Well, you know, I have an advantage. I mean, there are certain people's hair that could not. There are people who could never in a million years cut their own hair. But I have really thin hair. I'm a pretty big bald spot on the back of my head. Receding hairline. There's not much to cut. I just took the clippers and just went vroom and just cut it all the same length, basically. But you can't do that. You have to actually, you have to taper it up on the sides and in the back. It just doesn't work.
It does require... You know, skills.
It does. It took me about 3 days to get it right.
You did it well, I have to say.
It doesn't look bad. You do look a little bit sort of shaved.
Yeah.
But you can carry it. It looks good, Ev.
You know, I mean, hey, listen, as long... I was just getting scraggly. I was getting pretty scraggly. You know that scraggle, that gray scraggle when you get to our age that comes out of the side of the ears?
How lazy were you that you couldn't get down to the cutting edge... barbershop on Connecticut Avenue.
You know, this is Corona, man. I'm not spending $50 on a haircut.
It's $22.
No, yeah. I mean, listen, I tip. I tip. That's a $40 situation as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, the big stories, obviously, and we'll get to all of this really quick. We have some around the district stuff as well, some tennis stuff. The Washington football team lost yesterday 30-10 to the Los Angeles Rams here in Landover, Maryland. And of course, the big story. We weren't sure Alex Smith was ever going to walk again. And then roughly sometime in the third quarter, Aaron Donald jumped on his back with about 1,000 pounds of pressure, and his leg held up. They looked terrible, but that's really the only thing you can take away from this game is the fact that Alex Smith came back from absolutely insanely improbable odds to play a football game yesterday. I mean,
I do remember having this conversation a few weeks ago. Then I think I did ask the question that you guys see him coming back, and I think the answer all around the room was no.
I can guarantee you mine was yes.
Even after yesterday and seeing his lovely wife and his three lovely kids clapping
that
for him
so
in the
cute.
Rain, I don't ever need to see him play again either. He did it. The movie's over. That's enough. Good for him.
Yeah. The Disney movie's ending up right here for you?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm on record as saying, like, he's going to be on the field before you know it. I knew it because as soon as he made the team, you knew that Ron Rivera was going to give this guy a shot because he's the most veteran presence on the team. So anyway, I think Kyle Allen was the better player. And again, we will get to all of this. So let's take a quick break, and then we're going to go around the district, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Lakers and a few other things. So stay tuned.
You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811.
It's 1st and 10 at their own 35 by virtue of the hit on Jalen Ramsey on Kyle Allen. And Alex Smith's first play is a swing pass to J.D. McKissic. Slips through a tackle, crosses the 40 to the 41 and out of bounds. Gain of 6 on 1st down on the first throw for Alex Smith in over 2 years.
Manic depression's searching my soul.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Native Son DC podcast. We would be remiss without saying rest in peace to Mr. Eddie Van Halen, who sort of rewrote the guitar. I mean, I think after Hendrix, he's probably one of the more influential, maybe the most influential electric guitarist. Maybe not my favorite, but a guy who took the instrument to a new place. I'm saying Eddie Van Halen did that. And then some. Would you not agree, sir? What's your favorite Van Halen song?
I'll go Unchained or Hot for Teacher. I like them both. I like the video of Hot for Teacher. But we should also say rest in peace to Mr. Joe Morgan, who died yesterday at 77 years of age.
Yes.
Two-time NL MVP, two-time World Series champion with the Big Red Machine in 1975 and 1976. And then really, actually, when I was sort of growing up, he was paired up with John Miller on Sunday Night Baseball, and he was just absolutely fantastic, and everyone just loved him, and so rest in peace to both of them. And yes, I love Eddie Van Halen, but he's nowhere near Hendrix, bud.
I didn't say that he was on the same level or as good or as influential, but I would say after Hendrix, more guitarists, you know, tried to sound like him than just about anybody else I can think of.
They started using solid-state amps like he did instead of tube amps. That was kind of a weird thing. That was like the verge of metal.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, he really just kind of, you know, had a different sound and a different way of playing, and he wasn't the guy who invented the tap-on guitar style, but he certainly popularized it and took it to another place. Also wanted to say RIP to a Mr. Bob Gibson, who passed away just last week at the age of, I want to say, it should say here, he was very old. I don't, why does it not say? Anyway, he died very recently, so RIP got Bob Gibson. Anyway, I think it's time to leash up that pony. What do you think? Yeah?
I do believe it is that time. And
it's
yes,
Bob right. Pony time?
Yeah,
you know, Bob Gibson was not only one of the best pitchers of all time, he was also a member of the Harlem Globetrotters. Just saying.
That's I did not know that. Nobody knew that. Anyway, leash up the pony, people.
And now, it's Around the District with Honor Co.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to say that I did see them, the Harlem Globetrotters, in Hungary when they made it to Budapest.
Kick ass.
I know. So around the yes.
That would be really cool. Just watch the Harlem Globetrotters in Budapest.
That was awesome.
That's not something that everybody gets. That's not an experience everybody has had.
Yeah, well, it was actually a street ball, the first street ball in Budapest. It's now a big festival, a street ball festival in Budapest. And I was playing and I was officiating at the same time. And then we saw the Harlem Globetrotters and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay, so.
I saw them on Gilligan's Island once. It was awesome.
Nice.
I saw them on Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, my God. Okay, so around the district, I have a couple things for you guys. Not too much. Caps. Let's start with the Caps. We have definitely, I'm going to brag right now because I did call Henrik Lundqvist and we did sign him.
I think he's as good, if not maybe, he's been the best, one of the top three goalies in the NHL for the last.
He's a legend. They call him the king.
I mean.
That means something.
Yeah, when you go against him, you're like, man, I hope we can get to Lundqvist. That's all you really hope on whatever team he's on. So that is thrilling. Thrilling.
Yeah, I'm very happy about that. And we signed a couple of other people, other players. Four different guys. Daniel Carr from Switzerland as well. So we have two Swiss men like signed right now.
There was also the NFL draft.
That was the NFL draft. I have a couple things on that. I'm not really familiar with this the class of the draft. We gave up a lot for this kid, an 18-year-old kid, Hendrix LaPierre. And I think we have high hopes for him. That's pretty much, I really don't want to go through the whole, the players list, because it's just, some of them are really good. We signed a goalie, the name of, Bear. Oh no, he's actually a.
I was about to start laughing.
Bear.
He's actually he's a Bear Grylls. Center. Bear Hughes.
Bear Hughes.
I mean, that is a hockey name. That is a true hockey name.
It's the NHL draft, not the NFL draft. Let's just
NHL
let's,
draft.
Let's,
yeah.
Let's confirm.
Yeah, I thought I caught that on the way out there. I was like, NFL? What? No. NHL draft.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I believed you said NFL. But
did I say NHL?
You might have NFL. I think. Anyway,
we're talking about hockey, so NHL.
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Please continue.
Definitely moving. That's all I have, really. Not much. Nats. We have a bunch of free agents. We entered the off season. Mike Rizzo was just saying the other day that they have to construct a better team. Yes.
Keep going, honey. With your points, because I'm going to go right after you. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Just keep going.
So,
just for the record, Robert raised his hand, and then we gave him the floor, and then he was like, I don't want to talk.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt her, because I want to hear more Rizzo news. Keep going.
Oh, I just mentioned, because I just heard him the other day. And so what it is, I mean, we have, like I said, we have a couple of more than a couple of free agents, Cabrera, Ryan Zimmerman, Harrison, Suzuki, Sean Doolittle, those are all free agents. We just don't know what yes.
Yeah, I mean, really what it is, and I'm sorry,
like
I've got to jump in front of you. We just fired the whole coaching staff, except for Rizzo and
hitting
Davey Martinez.
Kevin Long is
and
the
Chip
last
Hale.
One.
Everyone's fired.
Yeah, it's true.
How do we feel about that?
Yeah, because I think Davey wants to bring in his own people, is what is happening.
I'm sure.
That's
like everybody else.
These guys have not been his people. He wants to bring in his own hitting coach, his own pitching coach. I think Bob
Hamlin. I have nothing against that, though.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither.
The one that doesn't make any sense. Keep going, Matt.
Just look at how this year went. Didn't go very well. I mean, no. The pitching was a disaster, including, a lot of these young guys. So, yeah, bring in. I don't care. The guy won this World Series. Bring in whoever he wants. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I am too. The one that's done, and I think we actually talked about it last week, unless we were just talking about it this week during our staff chats, was that Manhart was let go.
Yeah. No, we talked about it last week.
Pitching coach Paul Manhart for you listeners out there.
And the other thing is, like, I kind of maybe, I don't know if you guys read this, I thought I'm going to bring it up. The Rule 5 draft, do you know anything about this? I kind of tried to get into it. Apparently, if the team has not the complete 40-member roster, you can actually draft players from college, high school, international rosters and stuff like that. I just don't understand how that goes.
Does it mean you can draft out of turn if you want to pick someone and you, if you're eligible to make such a pick?
I didn't
see any.
The
Rule 5 draft has always been strange to me, too.
I was hoping that you guys are. Yeah, I don't understand the whole thing.
Well, hey, it's a sports show. You know, what are we expected to know over here?
Yeah, I have to get into it a little more deeper, I think. That's it for the Nats. I don't have anything else. I have DC United.
Oh, my goodness.
Officially, still, we are the last, you know, the worst team in the MLS.
But that's, I don't think that's going to change between now and the end of the season.
Not at all. Well, the good news, Matthew, that you called it. Finally, the coach is gone. Ding, yes. Dong, the coach
Hallelujah.
Is gone. Yes, indeed. And so we had
5 years too late.
Yeah, well, I agree on that. But we had two games, and both of them were just a loss, a big loss against New York. That was a huge, huge loss, 4-1. And then against Chicago, that was 2-1. And but we do. That was the first game after the coach was let go. So they had a lot of shots and all that stuff. They actually looked better, I have to say. And I did see a little bit of rumor mill action on this. They were thinking about someone up on at the Washington Post thinking of we should replace Ben Olsen with Jill Ellis. And they thinking about hiring her.
I saw that too. Why don't you explain who that is?
Huh? Oh yeah. Well, she is. If you don't know who she is. She was the national. I mean, the women's national team coach between 2014 and 2019. She did lead the girls to two World Cup victory. So that would be pretty awesome to have her on the DC United staff.
Wait. Is what you're saying that she would be the first female head coach of any major professional sports?
That's also
team?
What I'm saying.
So that's
like,
pretty cool.
Like soccer. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened, but that's just somebody threw that name out there.
The idea is neat,
I think
though,
it's
right?
Awesome, yeah.
I mean, we're sort of coming towards
I'm totally
that.
Behind it.
All right. Times, they are a-changing, my friends.
Yeah, definitely. So that's kind of what I have for the district. And I just wanted to talk about briefly, you know, I'm a tennis gal, and the Roland Garros, a.k.a. the French Open, just ended, which was an amazing game between Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, who's Djokovic is my boy, but he played horrible. I mean,
Nadal
he got
smoked him.
He got served a bagel for breakfast because the first set was 6-0.
It was like 6-0, 6-2.
And then 7-5, which Nadal was just a beast. There was no chance for Novak to actually win that. And
how many people did Djokovic smack in the face with a tennis ball?
Just one. Just one. Just one line,
Jack.
Neck,
sir. It's not the face. The neck.
It was.
Get it right.
He hit someone right between the eyes the other day by accident.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
oh.
But that was the ball was staying in play. In play, so there was not, you know. Like, but so we just I just want to mention that Nadal is just joined Roger Federer for 20 Grand Slam wins, which is amazing, I think. And he won 13 Roland Garros, and he is the absolute record holder in that one.
Before we were getting here and Matthew was setting up all the buttons and the things, and God bless Matthew Yancey, our producer, you were saying that he'd won 13 French Opens in a row. Is that mm-hmm. is that serious?
I think so. I might not be right. Maybe someone won.
Not in a row.
Definitely not in a row.
She just said she said 13
Some,
in a row.
I,
but he's won 17 overall.
I didn't fact check on that one, but definitely 13 wins. Because maybe not. Maybe he
right,
was
Evan's,
one.
I see Evan's thumbs.
Moving. Evan,
he's
yeah,
checking this out.
Maybe not.
Maybe I was
I got the Google machine.
I was playing
working.
With the dog.
It's still pretty amazing to me. Like you know, winning.
Oh, no kidding.
The French Open 13.
He's the clay court master.
He was amazing. I mean, he literally Djokovic just couldn't. Match up against him at all. They just couldn't return.
Hey, just in this moment while we're waiting on Evan, let me just tell the listeners your Maryland Terrapins are going to play their first football game.
Next
Can't
week.
Wait.
Saturday, October 24th at Northwestern.
So it's 2 weeks?
The 24th. Today is Monday.
It's the 12th.
2 weeks, yeah.
12th?
Do we have
That's awesome.
Do we have an early line on this game? because I would like to
that
know that.
I haven't seen.
I'm going to let Evan check that one on.
They just announced the times for the first two games.
All right.
At Northwestern, Saturday the 24th at 7:30, and then the next week at, or no, will be their first home game against Minnesota.
Oh, nice.
Who rang them up 52-10 last year, so that should be fun.
So yes, you are correct. He has won 13, but not in a row.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, many of them were, because you can only win 13 by winning a bunch in a row at some point.
It's not like he's 110.
Yeah, I don't have the exact, I'm not going to go through the years, but no, he did not win them in a row, but he has won 13 total and a total of, yes, 35 ATP Masters titles. Wow, that's really amazing.
That's yes, it is.
And 20 Grand Slam singles titles. Anyway.
So they tied with Roger Federer. They both have 20.
Congratulations to all you guys who hit balls. All right, we will be back in just a minute with some football stuff, because there is more than enough. We probably have more football than we have time for. Stay tuned.
Stop your messing around. Better think of your future.
Did you know that generic drugs are just as safe and effective as brand name drugs? Generics might look different, but they work the same way. And they can even save you money. Don't believe me? Ask your doctor or pharmacist. Or visit fda.gov/genericdrugs.
The delicious finger tapping styles of, yes, Mr. Edward Van Halen, rest in peace.
Yes.
One of the best. There's no doubt about it.
You know where he got that finger tap style from?
I don't. He was a drummer when he grew up. Maybe it came from that. I don't know.
No, Frank Zappa used to do that.
Oh, wow. Frank Zappa, BCC Barons.
Yeah, before Eddie Van Halen did that, Frank Zappa was doing that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so now that I have your attention, we are Native Son DC. This is the Native Son DC podcast. Later on, we're going to get into a segment that we take questions from the viewers. Would you please ask your questions to matt@nativesondc.com, and we'll read them on the air. Right now, it's really time to take a deep dive into the Washington football team's performance yesterday. They lost 30-10 to the Los Angeles Rams at home in the rain. Alex Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me turn it over to Evan and take it away, my friend.
Yeah, well, so before we get to Washington, really, I wanted to just touch on a couple of games before we, because I just want to get these out of the way before we get into the breakdown of the game, because there are a couple, I'm not going to get into every game here, but there's a couple of games around the NFL that I really wanted to shoot to you real quick just before we get started here. The first thing that we should actually mention that is related to the Washington football team, but other teams as well, is the fact that Dwayne Haskins obviously did not start yesterday. In fact, he didn't even suit up. In fact, he came down with some sort of a stomach bug.
He called in sick.
Not
he called
even
in sick.
In the stadium. Yep. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so he wasn't even in the stadium, and he's basically on the training block right now. And so when you look at around the, you know, what happened in the NFL yesterday, you start wondering where Dwayne Haskins' landing spot might be. And so the Atlanta Falcons went to 0-5 yesterday, and they fired their coach Dan Quinn and their GM Dan Dimitrov.
Were you not wondering about this a couple weeks ago?
I mean, you knew it was happening. There's no way I knew he was going to get fired at least at the very end of this season. But 0-5, and they had a tough schedule to start off with. But man, they looked really bad losing yesterday. So that was a problem there. Congratulations to the Raiders, who beat the Chiefs first their first loss of the game. That Cowboys game. Boy, that was really so tough to watch. I mean, you know, I'm a diehard Burgundy and Gold fan. When the Cowboys lose, I'm happy. But that was really, really, really tough to watch. Especially
after
Alex
Smith.
But
you don't want anybody to get hurt.
Well, what you're saying is the injury to Dak Prescott is what you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. So he was running, and then you could see it in slow mo. Dislocated his ankle, and then he tried to put
fracture too.
At that point, the first time he dislocated it, he was okay, but then he put all his weight on the dislocated ankle while he was getting tackled, and that thing just gave out. And oh god, that he's going to be gone for I mean,
for
you know,
for the season, yeah, definitely.
Easily for the season.
Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, you know,
they're saying 8 months recovery time.
Yeah, this is like next year's training yeah. camp.
And the worst part for him is, and by the way, you know, even though he's a Cowboy, and you know, there's nothing wrong with being a Cowboy. If I was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, I'd be wearing a Cowboy hat right this second.
Everybody would.
But he's a really good kid.
I'd retire.
Everybody in the league likes him. All of coaches like him. All of his teammates like him. All of his college teammates like him. And he was is just a good
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Man.
One of the good guys.
Yeah, and it's so tough for him. But we're all rooting for a speedy recovery for Prescott.
Yeah, especially after what yeah. we went through with Alex Smith. I mean, we know how hard that is. So, Dak, Washington Nation wishes you a speedy recovery. I don't really see anything else. No, the Jets lost to the Cardinals, so that would be a possible
Shocker.
Trading spot. you know, the, I don't know how love the Jets are with Sam Darnold. I mean, Matt Ryan, to mention that, is now 30, going to be 36 years old. That might be a landing spot for Haskins. I mean, the Jaguars got, you know, their butt kicked, but I can't imagine that they would want Haskins over what they could get in a draft pick. Yeah,
I've heard the Steelers' name be thrown out there.
I like that spot.
Yeah,
for him
so that
too.
was the next place I was going to. Roethlisberger's backup.
Exactly, because Mason, what's his name? Mason Rudolph. I mean, that guy's hot garbage.
Yeah, that guy's a mess. That guy's just he's basically Mark Sanchez is who Mason Rudolph is.
Aww.
He's a poor man's Mark Sanchez. Anyway,
that's mean.
Let's get to team, shall we? Let's get right to it. Oh, by the way, one more
game. Seahawks game was real good.
I do want to say that I was hoping, and I don't know if I mentioned it on the air, but I was hoping that the team would draft a guy named Chase Claypool, who I was looking at. I was like, man, this guy's got, I wanted actually a team to convert him to tight end because he's got really good size at the wide receiver position. But they didn't. They were only not in position to pick him, and boy, I wish they had because he scored 4 touchdowns for the Steelers yesterday. 4 touchdowns.
He's Canadian.
Yeah, you were happy if Chase Claypool was on your fantasy team yesterday, and the Eagles are in total free fall now, 1-3-1. It's just ugh, the Giants are 0-5. Giants look terrible.
So who's leading the division, by the way?
Dallas actually is a 2-3, even wow. though they almost lost to the 0-5 Giants yesterday.
Wow.
So where do you start now? I will start with the game yesterday. Obviously, if you have not heard, Alex Smith came back after the most improbable circumstances to promptly lose a football game 30-10 in a pouring rain. I mean, look, there was nothing this team could do to win this game. Everything that was stacked against them could be stacked against them. They were going, you know, with a quarterback in Kyle Allen who had just started, and then obviously Alex Smith got none of the first team reps. And now he's supposed to go into the pouring rain against Aaron Donald and, mm-hmm. and perform. I wouldn't get against a terrible offensive line. You could hardly write a script that was more destined to fail.
You know, there's so much to debate and talk about this game yesterday, and so much of it. The weather was appropriate, and even seeing his beautiful wife and kids out there cheering for him, and God bless him. But he didn't need to be on that field yesterday. I mean, I'm really glad for him. I really am. But there was no reason for him to be out there at the end of that game yesterday. And moving forward, there's absolutely no point of this person ever playing for the Redskins ever again.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that. I don't. Why are you so against him playing? I don't get that. Like, I just don't get it. Like, you've been pretty adamant about that.
Hold on. You thinking that they should have stick with Kyle Allen?
Well, he got hurt. I mean, so he got a
so
nasty hand. So for those who were not able to watch the game, Kyle Allen was gotten a nasty helmet-to-helmet hit from Jalen Ramsey. Now, on a side note, Jalen Ramsey did not mean to hit him that way. It was just one of those quick guys, two running fast. You know, they both kind of buckled down at the same time and hit each other on the head. And I thought he was out with a concussion, but he actually hurt his shoulder, I think.
It was his arm. Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought that was an immediate concussion thing. But he was actually available to play in the second half of that game. He should have been playing. Alex Smith had absolutely no idea or way to defend himself against with that terrible offensive line and Aaron Donald raining down on him like a thunderstorm.
Couple times, yeah, a few times.
it was ugly. And then when Rivera says, you know, well, I didn't put Kyle Allen back in because I was worried about him getting hurt, I was like, who are you worried about getting hurt? I'm worried about the guy that just literally almost died or lost his leg.
Well,
getting hurt. What are you doing throwing him out there?
Well, Look, I'm going to give Ron Rivera a pass on anything that happens this year.
I'm going to disagree.
Because
why?
100%. And I still like him, but I'm going to tell you my grade of him at the end of the show.
All right, so
tell us, Evan.
One of the things that the Patriots do every year is that they basically treat the first four games of the season like an exhibition. I mean, they're good enough now to where they generally win anyway. So even if they're not, you know, playing at the top, Bill Belichick, that's his figure out what I got with this team.
How in any way can you compare this franchise to the Patriots?
I'm not comparing them. I'm not saying that they're the same, but this is what Belichick does. He basically, you know, he takes the first four games of the season and weeds out the crap out of his team. And then that way the team gets stronger. His Patriots get stronger and stronger and stronger. I think Ron Rivera is trying to take a page out of that. Because let's see what he's faced with. First of all, no offseason. To one of the most dysfunctional franchises imaginable.
Let's go cancer. I mean, I'm getting a pass for cancer.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, you know, even without the cancer, this was an impossible situation to succeed in this year. Now, I do agree that there's some really questionable decisions. I don't, again, like he's trying to figure out what he's got with this football team.
Do you actually want to talk about the game for a minute before we start criticizing everyone? Because I'm going to throw some darts.
You're going to throw some darts?
At everyone's forehead. Do you want to talk about anything you liked or didn't like in the game, or tell me about how the flow of the game went? Because for the first half hour of that game, I was like, you know, I know we stink, but we're in the game.
Yeah, so they were in the game, and actually, I'm sort of enthusiastic about what Kyle Allen brings going forward, because it's just, I mean, not that they were lighting it up or anything, but they were moving the ball. They looked like they could move the ball, you know, and he had some nice plays that he made with his legs.
Yeah, including the only touchdown we scored yesterday.
Exactly. So, you know, I think there's the future is, I don't want to say bright, but I mean, they're not going to look like this every year, every game. I mean, they're going to look much, much better. First of all, they're playing a dog crap opponent in the New York Giants next week. And
the Giants are better than them.
Yeah, I guess.
By the way, the Giants are favored in that game by 3.5 points.
For
you gamblers. Yeah.
Who's Washington ever going to be favored against the rest of the season?
Zero.
Nobody.
Zero. Not even at home.
But we should win that at least one of the two matchups. Come on.
And they will. You just don't know which. I mean, they always beat the Giants
you
once a season.
Absolutely do not know that.
I mean, our Giants are bad. You know who might be worse, actually, though, than the Giants now is Dallas, because Dallas has actually given up more points than any team in the NFL at 180. The next closest is Atlanta, which has given up so many points at 161. So Dallas is almost a full 20 points worse than any other team.
And we are the third?
Yeah, looking at those types of numbers...
No, they're actually not too bad. They
really do diligence to actually watching games. I mean, what's really going on here in this season between those two, three franchises you just mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, the guy for Dan Quinn for the Falcons should be fired, but it's not because he's a bad coach. He just... Really, he's more fired because of losing that Super Bowl to the Patriots.
Well, that was the start of it all.
That's really what started it.
And then, well,
the Falcons are so much more talented than either the Redskins. I mean, it's not even, I'm sorry, the Washington football team. It's not even a close thing. But going back to, circling back to what I wanted to say was the Washington football team has nowhere near the talent of the Cowboys. And Andy Dalton would be the starting quarterback on the Washington football team.
Oh, no question.
Right the second.
No question.
He's better than anyone we've had in a long time, since Kirk Cousins.
Probably.
He might even be better than him, for all I know.
Well, I'm not going to get into that right now.
Yeah, that's no doubt. Oh, God. And we'll get back to it, but that Seahawks... Vikings game was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
Like, God, what a football game that was.
Dude, I'm so pissed. I actually turned away and did something else at the end. I felt like the Seahawks were out of it. And then I see Russell Wilson going nuts. Anyway,
can I have a quick shout out to my cousin in Seattle? Because we were kind of watching it together. Cousin John in Seattle, he was like, he didn't like the beginning of the game. He was just telling me that they suck. I'm like, if we would have a team like yours, I would be happy. So, hi, John.
Hey, listen, I was just thinking that our buddy Mitch over there in London would probably kind of want to know. I mean, I don't know if you even get the chance to watch the games over there. If you're wondering, what in the hell happened? Quick recap. The game was competitive early in the first quarter. It was 7-6, actually. The Washington was ahead at the end of the first quarter. And then, you know, the Rams were just, they were clicking on offense. They really were.
They scored on their first three possessions. After that, they were pretty much snuffed out.
Yeah, they were. But, I mean, they were just, obviously Washington was a huge problem at the safety position. Huge problem at the safety position. And then, you know, they just could not score at all. They could not move the ball. They couldn't even get a first down once that rain came down and Alex Smith came in. I mean, Alex Smith got zero first-team reps, and it just, it showed. This team was not ready to play, and the game was roughly over by the half. So that's kind of what happened. And it's, the story is all about Alex Smith, the fact that he was able to even play a game. And he got sacked. He took some hard sacks, like some, like, ooh.
He was molested out there, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question, and this is my ignorance, Aniko's ignorance. Oh.
Are we going to a break? Cool. All right, let's go to a break real quick.
And then I ask the question.
You'll ask the question coming out of the
break.
Got
the look from Matthew Yancey.
That's some stank eye right there you got from Yancey. All right, please stay tuned. We will be right back with the question from Miss Aniko coming back.
Well, hello out there. Bonjour. Native Son DC likes to keep you up on your culture, and so we're going to ask you this question. Have you always wanted to learn French? Or maybe you wanted to brush up on your high school or college French? The Alliance Française de Frédéric is there for you. They offer French classes for children and adults. All classes are taught by native French speakers. Please visit their website at affrederic.org for more information on classes and virtual events.
To Rob and Evan, a Native Son DC.
Hey, welcome back, guys. Welcome back to NativeSonDC.com. We were talking about the second half of the Redskins game before we went to the break. Evan, there's so much to talk about here. Do you have something to say before I go and literally bite the neck of the person?
Well, I'm gonna be over here in pain listening to you because I'm gonna want to be like, God, he's angry. You're angry today. I'm seeing the anger over there.
He is angry.
You're in angry fan mode right now, which I appreciate because somebody's got to do that. Not everybody can be the voice of reason. So I want you to unleash the dragon. Bring the flamethrower out. I mean,
the only thing I
will say. Yeah.
Well, first of all,
But before you do, can I just say one thing?
Yes, go ahead, please.
When it rains like it did yesterday, the scoring always goes down. If you will recall last year when the Niners came to FedEx Field, the score of that game was 9-0 and just poured all day. It was the same kind of day yesterday. It just poured all day from start to finish. Those games are always defensive battles. They always just turn into slog fests. The offenses never look good. So I'm going to temper your anger with that.
I don't think you can.
Do I have any chance?
I don't think you can.
No? All right. Go.
There's a difference between never looking good. And by the way, that was not a deluge like that was against the Niners.
No, it was a steady light downpour.
It's not the first time it's ever happened in the NFL.
And still, somebody scored 30 in that game, right?
Yeah, we sure did. We gave up 30 points in that game. I want to ask you, how many first downs do you think we had in the second half?
I don't think we had one.
The answer is zero.
I mean, they couldn't get a first down. They could not get 10 yards in four tries.
How many yards did we have in the second half?
-4. Minus -6.
Wow.
Which gives us
That's a huge difference, by the way.
A grand total of 108 yards for an entire NFL football game.
Yeah, they're passing 70. 70 yards on 30 attempts.
Which is the lowest output since 1961.
God, that's abysmal.
That's before we integrated, by the way.
We had seven. that's Bobby Mitchell's year. That's when Bobby Mitchell came into the league.
I'm saying that without a smile on my face.
Yeah, no, it's serious. We had seven possessions in the second half yesterday, and they went in succession. 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt, 1-2-3 punt. 1-2-3-4 turnover on downs.
Yep, I was going to say I got them right here. Here are the second half possessions for Washington. Punt, 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 downs, punt, punt, punt.
That's what you got.
Yep.
Also, we rushed the ball a grand total of 14 times yesterday.
14 times for 38 yards with a 2.7 average.
Ooh, smoking.
I mean, listen, man, with the team as bad as it was, and then your quarterback goes out, and he wasn't even your main quarterback, and that slog fest. I mean, it's just, look, we got to put this game behind us. This game was all about one thing, and Alex Smith coming back and clap, clap, clap for him. Listen, if Ron Rivera is still coaching this way and this kind of thing is still happening 2-3 years from now, okay. I'm just not worried about it this year because I just don't understand. I mean, the team is in, you know, free fall, disarray.
Are you going to tell me in any way that Dwayne Haskins couldn't have fared better against that team yesterday?
He would have fared similarly. Have you seen anything from Dwayne? Let's just be clear. Dwayne Haskins was the lowest rated quarterback by Pro Football Focus who goes
not anymore. The other two guys are going to be actually, Kyle Allen wasn't awful yesterday.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But Pro Football Focus looks at every single play from every single player. And let's say if Haskins delivered a perfect pass, but the pass was dropped, he still gets credit for delivering the perfect pass. So they really go in and they give you every single play and how that player performed each play. And Haskins was the lowest rated quarterback. He wasn't even 32nd out of 32. He was 34th out of 35. The only guy that was beating him was Mullins, who just got in the game for the 49ers. Because he's the third string quarterback for the that's the only guy that Haskins could beat out. So if you're wondering why Haskins was not in the game yesterday, that's why. I get he's making his 10th start. But boy, dude, Joe Burrow's making, you know, his third or fourth start. I mean, he got pummeled yesterday, but he already looks better. Justin Herbert looks better. Every quarterback who came out around that time looks better except for Dwayne Haskins.
But what do you do about, I'm going to give him, and I'm sorry to say it, because I do like Ron Rivera as a man, and I do respect his fight with cancer as a former cancer survivor.
You are.
I'm going to go ahead and give Ron Rivera this name right now. I'm going to call him Ronnie Waffles.
Ronnie Waffles?
Because he keeps going back and forth between the idea of winning games and preserving health.
Yeah, he
and
does.
Every time he says one, it really is the other, and I'm sick of it.
He has to pivot right now because there's no way he knows. He doesn't even know what kind of team he has yet. So he can't really put together a plan. I mean, I don't know. Listen, I've never had to coach any team on any level, much less the NFL. I mean, I played organized football for 4 or 5 years as a kid. I don't have enough experience to say what Ron Rivera is going through trying to build an NFL team. But we are certainly disappointed in the results, and it certainly seems like improvement is not even being tried hard enough to achieve.
There's no commitment to one or the other. This whole thing just reeks of what it's always reeked of for the last 21 years in the ownership of Daniel Snyder, is that Daniel Snyder told him, is like, listen, you're going to take this job, I'm going to overpay you, and I'm going to give you a fat contract, but you're going to give this kid Haskins a chance. But it was very apparent that Rivera and Scott Turner never wanted him to be their quarterback. And if so, what is this whole charade of the last month? Like, you've wasted my time. You've just wasted our time doing it.
It's drama.
Just
I think
ahead and
we
start
like drama.
Kyle Allen.
Yeah. Listen, the only thing that I can think of when I'm watching that team play yesterday was like, okay, Trevor Lawrence or Penei Sewell? That's all I can think about is the draft picks that this team needs. I mean, I used to be on board with thinking that they could work with Haskins, and if they can get a really high draft pick and it's going to be Penei Sewell or the wide receiver, they just need some really dynamic player that they can build around. But now with the way this team looks, let's just go. Did you see how good Trevor Lawrence looked against Miami? God, dude, he puts the ball like in within an inch of where he's trying to. And he gives all his players like all those little flares to the running backs. It's exactly where it has to be. Dude, that guy is special. It sucks that we had to waste a draft pick on Haskins. But at this point, if you have any hope of getting Trevor Lawrence, you go get that guy. Questions from our viewers. Are we ready for that? Yes, we are.
We are ready.
All right.
And look, again, if you guys have any questions, email me, Matt, M-A-T-T, at NativeSunDC, particularly all of you people down in North Carolina. Tell us what is going on with this psycho coach that we have.
Psycho. Guy's got cancer. You're calling him a psycho. That's great.
That's nice.
I know. That feels bad. I'm sorry, but... Help us.
If you ask him what color underwear he has on, he says blue, and it's red. He's incapable of actually telling the truth.
Well, again, the underwear is blue, but we're going to have red again.
back to the questions.
Okay, please.
We've got Tim in Leesburg. Tim's question, do we have any other safeties on the roster? Landon Collins has no coverage skills, just a box safety, and Troy Apke is a joke. Whiffs on a tackle every game.
I can answer Tim and say that, yes, we do. We have two other safeties, DeShazer Everett and Cameron Curl, who both saw significant time yesterday, but Landon Collins played every single snap. And though he sometimes seems like an interested tackler, he's terrible in coverage. And Troy Apke is just a joke. Ev, what do you think about that?
We were texting each other furiously back and forth yesterday about this very issue. And I was trying to like, what is the biggest need on this team? Is it offensive line? Is it wide receiver? Is it safety? It's one of those three. I mean, it's like any other team, that would be the obvious need that they have. But this team has three such huge obvious needs that they really can't compete on any kind of a high level until they get the situation fixed. Now, I don't know what, you know, Landon Collins is pretty much reminding me a whole lot of Roy Williams, isn't he?
That was a really good comp you mentioned during the game yesterday. And also, even beyond that, and you're right, Roy Williams is a perfect comparison.
Because he was great for about two, 3 years, and he could smash people, but then he was a one-trick pony, couldn't cover.
The worst thing about Collins is, besides Alex Smith, he's the highest-paid guy on the goddarn team.
Yeah, he's not going to make it past this year. So the answer is yes, we do, but they're not great options, and that is clearly a position that they're going to need to either draft or get a free agent, the best free agent they can, because it's a huge problem. They're going to keep on giving up huge numbers in the pass game if they don't get that fixed.
Okay, next up, we've got Nate in Tenleytown. Nate wants to know, how come some guys either can't or won't play special teams? You know, especially running backs like Adrian Peterson or wide receivers like Mohamed Sanu. What is the story with that? How come some guys don't or can't play special teams?
I mean, I think with each player, that would be an individual story. I mean, I think each player has a story on that, but you know, in the case of Adrian Peterson, I mean, he's such a valuable piece to your offense. You wouldn't want to have him on special teams. I mean, your best players do not play special teams. Mm-hmm. They don't. They never will. Like, Joe Burrow's not going covering kicks.
So you're saying it isn't a question of some guys can't or just are that horrible of tacklers?
To the best of my knowledge, John Riggins never covered kickoffs or punts. Yeah. You want him carrying the ball. You save guys. Evan said it very well.
So it's a question of choice.
Yeah, I mean, look at their
priority more.
Look, on special teams, who are you really talking about here? On
Mohamed Sanu.
No, but I'm talking about
serious.
Mohamed Sanu is at this point in his career, possession receiver. I mean, he once had a lot to give because he was opposite of Julio Jones with Atlanta, and then the Patriots signed him. They actually gave, I think, a second round pick for him, and he only lasted a year for them. I mean, look, he would help us. He would help this team.
He's a free agent. We can't return a kick. I know that. Or a punt.
Yeah, but I mean, why do some players? I mean, some players are just naturally good at it, and they have an attitude, and they want to run down the field and smash somebody. Other players just don't have that attitude, and they try to get away with it. But listen, I mean, if you don't have that attitude, you might not make the team. So you better have that attitude. You know, special teams is third of the game. Maybe not time wise, but I mean, importance wise. I mean, it's just right there with everything else. Yeah.
Okay, just real quick before we get to Aniko's question. We can't do a question segment without Sophie.
Oh, Sophie.
Sophie gets a question every game.
Sophie's
show.
Curious. She would like to know, does Dwayne's tum-tum still hurt? If so, sometimes her mommy gives her warm milk and cookies, which normally helps.
Aww.
Anybody know? Yes. Does Dwayne's tummy still hurt?
I don't think his tummy hurt ever. I'm sorry.
It was scripted.
He might,
They didn't want. They know they're getting rid of him.
Decision,
they didn't want him on the sidelines.
Decision.
Yeah.
Even Evan said it yesterday when we were texting furiously during the game, and you called us text cocky, which is a
oh no. Anyway, I think you're gonna have to beep that one out. Let's go. So yes.
No, it didn't happen. So I have a question.
Okay.
I'm like, and this is just this is me trying to learn a little bit more about football,
mm-hmm.
but I could not help noticing. That when your quarterback goes back to the pocket, like our quarterback did not really have a pocket.
Well,
that happening, or whose fault is that?
That's the offensive line. So the offensive line. I mean, listen, there's an old adage in the NFL, which is that the game is won in the trenches, and that's true not just the NFL, in college, high school. I mean, if you you can speak to that probably. How fun was it for you as the quarterback at the Wilson High School team to have a dude literally a helmet in your face the moment you tried to release the ball? Like, how many times would you say your offensive line gave you time to throw? What percentage?
50% of the time at Wilson, 0% of the time at Murray. It was an onslaught, but I learned how to get rid of the ball quickly. I actually helped design the playbook.
Oh, did you?
We played the quick game.
Yeah, oh, but you nice. the three strip drop.
Take one step. It's like, I'm getting rid of this thing.
So why is that not happening with us? What's the problem?
There's a few problems. Number one, they had to get rid of their all-pro left tackle because he was disgruntled because his situation was mismanaged. I don't want to get into that. They've not drafted at the left guard position forever. They actually have a pretty good center and a pretty good right tackle, although Brandon Sheriff is now hurt. They haven't drafted well. They had to get rid of a guy they didn't want to get rid of, and now they just have a kind of a bunch of also rans and backups at the position. And they're, you know, as bad as the safety play is, that has got to be their number one priority, is to get that offensive line shored up. And I would like to address Sophie's question as saying that the reason why Dwayne Haskins quote unquote called in sick is because whenever a quarterback has been benched like that, the camera finds him. Like every single time Kyle Allen is going to have a bad play or a good play, or Alex Smith in this case as he came in, you know, they're going to look at Dwayne Haskins' face, and it's just going to be, he's going to have like 20 minutes of airtime. And that was just an impossible situation that didn't help anybody. Matt, what do you got? What do you got? We're going to go into break? Okay, we're going to break, and we will come back as soon as we possibly can. Stay tuned.
Since 1989, the American Indian College Fund has helped thousands of young men and women begin a path out of poverty as students at tribal colleges. Help a student, help a tribe. Learn more at tribalcollege.org. A public service message from the American Indian College Fund.
People try to put us to death.
Talking about my generation.
Just because we get around.
Talking about my
and welcome back to Native Sun DC. It should be mentioned that Robert and I were in a band when we were teenagers, and I had to play bass on that song, and I actually did a pretty good job with the John Entwistle bass solo, if I may so say so myself.
You're an excellent musician. No one could doubt that.
Anyway.
I don't know if it sounded like that, but...
Yeah, no. John Entwistle's
we
amazing.
We were actually playing it in this room.
Yeah, we were. We jammed in this room.
This was the rehearsal space.
It was, and now all these years later, we're doing a podcast in the
Everything
same room.
Everything is coming back into full circle.
It does, indeed. We normally do position grades. We're going to just do that lightning quick here, because basically everybody gets an F except the defensive line and Kendall Fuller. That's basically what it comes down to.
I'd even just go more to point out Montez Sweat. He has really come into his own this year. I don't know if anyone else was really good on the on defensive line.
Chase
and even Cousin Tim said we're really missing Matt Ioannidis.
Yeah, because he provides that interior rush, that he just has that skill more than anybody else does. But I like Chase Young. I mean, they tried to run at Chase Young. I don't know if you noticed it in the first quarter, and Chase Young was like, nope, I'm going to slam you down to the ground. They never ran at him again the whole game, and he was double-teamed. I mean, that's what you scheme against if you're playing this team. You're scheming against Chase Young, and you're just not letting him just rip your game plan to shreds. So congratulations. If Kendall Fuller did get his third interception of the year, he's being graded out very well on Pro Football Focus, as is really the whole defensive line. Jonathan Allen is being graded well, Daron Payne. But, I mean, those guys just spend – I mean, the time of possession, it's just like – they're getting like two-thirds to one-third. They're on the field all the time, and you just can't, especially, God, yes, they were never, the offense was like never on the field in the second half of that game.
No. Speaking of defensive line, and one more thing, and God bless Ryan Kerrigan, but my gosh, since he set the all-time sack lead, surpassing the fantastic Dexter Manley in the first game of the season against the Eagles.
He's been kind of sharting.
I he's on a milk carton.
Yeah.
This guy's gone. he's missing in action.
He's trying to find a change of shorts because he's been soiling.
Yeah.
Man, it's been pretty bad actually. But you know, I mean, again, like that terrible field. Like I just throw that game out. I'm throwing that game out.
That's a good thing. Let's do that.
You have to throw one game out. Just an outlier. That was a terrible, terrible game. Around the league. Now we briefly got into the fact that Dwayne Haskins is on the trading block. I mean, there's no question that he is not. The problem is that I really don't know what can be gotten for him in terms of a draft pick. I mean, we talked briefly about where he might go. I think the Steelers, it might be the logical landing spot. But what are the Steelers going to give us for Dwayne Haskins? Second round pick? I don't think so.
Are you kidding me? He's not going to draw a second round pick.
Well, I know Josh Rosen got a second. They got Arizona got a second round pick for Josh Rosen.
They dealt him to the Dolphins. The Dolphins are dumber than us. That's the only team in the league that's worse than us for the last 20 years. They're terrible.
Well, they're good now though. That Dolphins team is Brian Flores has got that team headed in the right direction. Really, really very much so. They killed.
They smoked
the 49ers yesterday. Absolutely smoked them. Ron Fitzpatrick was having a day.
Yeah, he sure did. He's my backup quarterback in fantasy. Listen, for the rest of around the NFL, I mean, most of you probably stayed up long enough to watch at least a little bit of the Minnesota Vikings versus the Seattle Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
And my gosh, what a game that was. I mean, it had four different thrusts. I mean, at first it looked like Minnesota was going to just absolutely steamroll the Seahawks. And then the Seahawks came back and scored three straight touchdowns, and it looked like the exact opposite. And then it just went back topsy-turvy. And my God, DK Metcalf, I don't know where he was drafted in the draft when we drafted. He's the same draft as Haskins.
I think it's like second or third round.
I mean, we could have had this guy. This guy's an absolute maniac stud.
Yeah. Why didn't we? I was like, oh, he's 6'3", 220 pounds, and can run a 4.4. Why didn't we? Because his last name is Metcalf. He has the lineage.
Yeah.
Why didn't we draft him?
I don't know, but he'd look good in the burgundy and gold, I can tell you that.
Oh, he'd look good in any uniform. That dude is a stud.
And Russell Wilson is a baller.
Like I said, the nicest deep ball in the league right now.
What else you got for around the NFL? You got the Cowboys-Giants game was a good one yesterday.
Well, it was just, you know, that Dallas defense is non-existent.
Yeah.
I mean, they got that CeeDee Lamb looks like a player, but that defense is so bad. I mean, there's only two teams that I think Washington can beat with any sort of reliability going forward, and that'd be the Giants and Dallas, because the Dallas just can't stop anybody.
We're going to play them the next three games.
Yes, we are, so that's going to be interesting.
That'd be a good one.
Speaking of upcoming games, we have an extremely rare Tuesday game. Obviously, this is a Corona reschedule. Several members of the Tennessee Titans tested positive for the coronavirus about a week or two ago, and they've been negative, and so far all the tests have been negative. So Buffalo will be playing at Tennessee tomorrow night.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I love Buffalo. I love what they're doing. I like Josh Allen, that defense. I'm a big Sean McDermott fan, and I think he's
got a really good game.
You know, headed in the right direction. So, that's going to be an interesting watch. I'm trying to look at the. Do you know what the spread is on that offhand?
I don't, because I have stopped gambling.
Oh, you did not.
Don't gamble, children.
Oh my God,
you gamble. Don't tell us.
Anika's been at the betting line before betting window.
You are. You're the D-gen of the group. We got three disgusting men in here.
I'm on unemployment.
The woman
man.
Is the
I,
biggest
I can't afford
gambler
to gamble.
In the bunch.
I can't even find it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look it up in a second, but that will be fun. I mean, it just makes me wonder, like, why don't we have football every single week, every single day of the week, most?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
I would not either. Can we get this going? Also, next Monday, the 19th, October 19th, there will be two Monday night games. Just to wet your whistle, Kansas City at Buffalo, again, another one, and Atlanta at Dallas will be the crapola no defense game. All I'm rooting for now, going forward, is just the bad teams in this league to start winning. Like the Giants, you guys need to start winning a lot. Atlanta, you need to start winning. Minnesota, start winning, because we need that good draft pick. New York Jets, please start winning.
No
They're
kidding.
0-5. Jacksonville 1-4. Cincinnati 1-3-1. Chargers and Denver both 1-3.
All right,
I'm looking for those teams to win.
Speaking of terrible teams, two of the worst in the absolute just garbage can of the league are going to play each other, and one of them happens to be your Washington football team.
Yes, next week.
The Washington football team will be playing at the Meadowlands, or whatever they call it, MetLife Stadium.
Yeah. MetLife.
Against the New York
MetLife Injury
Football
Stadium.
Giants. The New York
so the
Giants.
The question is not really who's going to win, but who's gonna suck less.
Well, the Giants are a 3.5-point favorite. Shall we make a prediction at this point?
I mean, their offense actually started to move pretty well yesterday. I mean, but then again, Dallas is the worst defensive in the league. So what do you know?
Dallas scores 30 points every game, no matter what.
Well, maybe they won't now. I mean, not to rub it in with Dak Prescott, but I don't know what Andy Dalton really brings to this team. We'll see.
He's better than anybody we got. Yeah. Should we do a score and prediction of the game or no?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I'll give you a prediction. I think the Giants are going to squeak this one out because they're just playing a little bit better right now. They just seem a little bit more together. Neither one of these teams really seems too terribly interested in stopping the pass. I mean, we have a good defensive line, but that safety play of Washington has just been atrocious. And Daniel Jones is really good at standing in the pocket. So I think New York's going to score, 20, 24, somewhere in that, 24, 27. And the way Washington looked on offense, I mean, even though the Giants' defense is almost
putrid,
as bad as Atlanta and Dallas. They're not quite there. I mean, let's give it a 20. It's going to be a close game. I'm going to say 27-26.
I got you on a record. 27-26.
Okay. Anika's writing it down. We got 1 minute left in the segment. Let's wrap it up. Anika, what do you got?
Okay, I have I'm going to go 24-10.
Favor of?
Of
the blue?
The Giants.
You're going with the G-men in a blowout. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and be with you. I'm going to say 19-13 favor of the Giants. That's the way I see it. I see a low scoring game.
Matt,
producer,
be on record.
I like our team covering. They're going to lose the game 20-18.
Okay, so there you have it.
20-18.
Okay.
18. There's been more weird scores this year.
Yeah.
Don't ask me how we get there.
The
and
2-point
the spread,
conversions.
By the way, yeah. The Bills are favored, but 3.5.
3.5.
That's on the Giants.
Against Tennessee.
Tomorrow, Bills are favored.
On the Tuesday's game.
We got to wrap it up here. Native Son DC. We're going to come right back over this break with Ping Pong.
Ping Pong.
Yay.
We're all part of your community.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Native Son DC podcast. We are going to go into ping pong. We are almost done with this segment, so I guess we're blatantly ripping off Kornheiser and Wilbon. All right, fine. It's our own thing. We got rapid fire questions, Mr. Roberto.
Yeah, okay.
Give it on us.
First service, and this is particular for you, Evan. How happy are you that the New York Yankees have been booted out of the World Series championship?
When the Yankees lose, all is right with the world.
I'm not that happy. You know, like my I have family in New York. My godson is a huge Yankees fan. So for him, I'm
gross.
Not. Oh, wow.
Front runner. Okay. Besides the Dodgers, who is your favorite to win the World Series?
I mean, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Atlanta. I mean, Acuña's a nice player, dude, and there's a lot of talent there. And I would actually kind of like to almost see the NL East come away with another title 2 years in a row. It would sort of solidify that we're in one of the toughest divisions in baseball.
I just think as long as the Astros don't win it, I'm happy with it.
Yeah. I have no dog in the fight.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Moving on. Tom Brady Thursday night did a couple of things.
Yeah.
In the loss.
Yeah.
To the Chicago Bears. Mm. Number one, he forgot what down it was.
That was freaking me out.
That
yeah.
was very un-Tom Brady like.
No.
Yeah.
He also didn't shake hands with Nick Foles after the game. Was that sort of like a punk move or no?
I don't know. I didn't.
Are you okay with that?
I didn't. I don't. I. This is the first I've heard of this. I saw the. He was like, four? Is it fourth down? I don't know.
That was so dumb.
He was in his head.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He got verklempt.
He was just mad that he lost to Foles in the Super Bowl. That, probably. That's, he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed.
Yeah, and he was embarrassed. And the other thing is that you know, now that he's not with Belichick, I mean, all those little details that the Patriots never screwed up are now getting screwed up, and he's not used to that. Now he's...
That's probably it.
He's flying solo.
All right, moving on. This is sort of like a double-sorted question. Best sports movie of all time?
I'm going to go with The Natural.
It's an excellent choice.
Can we do the funnest?
Just tell me what your answer is.
Replacements. I love The Replacements.
Oh my
I'm sorry.
God, you're so European. The answer is Rocky.
yes, okay. I can,
and that
I can
leads me to
that.
The next.
Wait a minute. No, that's not true. The Longest Yard, I think we can all agree, is
no
the greatest.
Way. No way. It's so preposterous.
Yeah.
And that led me to my next thing, but, or led me runs. To my next thing. The best theme song from a movie ever, which is?
Rocky.
Of course. That's okay. So, like I said. Okay, here's an interesting one for you. Would you rather?
No.
Dan Snyder sell the team?
Yes.
Or see Donald Trump spend a day in prison?
Ooh.
Or a significant term in prison, like an actual more than a slap on the wrist.
Evan,
I'm gonna go with prison.
I'm gonna go Dan Snyder.
Oh, no, that's a photo finish for me over here. Okay, I got one more for you. Will Dwayne Haskins ever start another NFL game?
Well, yes. Not
because of injury.
Not in the burgundy and gold. Probably.
Well, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I mean,
I'm gonna go no on that. But because of attitude and all that.
No, somebody else will give him a chance. You don't get drafted 15th overall with only getting one chance. Somebody else will give him a chance.
Okay, and I think we have time for maybe one more little parlay. So Atlanta head coach Dan Quinn was fired last night. Who's next?
Oh, who's on? Well, Adam Gase. I've been saying that for a little while. I'm shocked that he's not already fired. I mean, what are they waiting on? I mean, I guess there's nobody else to put in his place. They might as well let him run out the string, I guess, and just be, you know, go 0-16 and get Trevor Lawrence or whatever they're going to do.
Agreed.
But I don't know. I don't think anybody else besides him is really on the block. I mean, you could kind of look at a couple of different teams. I'm not sure what Chicago is doing, but they're at the same time they're 4-1.
Yeah.
So that guy's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going nowhere.
Nope. And obviously, I mean, you know, look at the other teams. I mean, there's really no just horrific team. That Bill O'Brien just did get fired before the Falcons, and so you know he got fired the moment he traded DeAndre Hopkins to the
Arizona
Cardinals.
Himself.
Basically, he got the GM job and then promptly fired himself.
And maybe to wrap it up, since we're both guitar players, and we did touch upon this, and thanks to Matt for playing some Eddie Van Halen or Van Halen music, Eddie Van Halen's place in the pantheon of the greatest guitarists ever. Are you saying top 5, top 10, or top 20?
I don't like questions like this because especially when guitarists play in different eras. I mean, Eddie Van Halen, his ability and his style was built on Hendrix and Jimmy Page and Clapton and Beck and all those guys. So it's just like, how do you compare? You know, how do you compare Jordan to, you know,
because you
Havlicek?
Do, because you do,
you know,
he's top 20.
Havlicek, nice.
You know, I mean, from a skill wise, let's face it, Eddie Van Halen can do things Jimmy Page cannot do. Eddie Van Halen can do things most guitarists
except for write
do.
Songs, perhaps. But
obviously, but you know, Page was a better songwriter. I mean, no questions that, and better riff writer. And Zeppelin's just you know an all around more complete band. With more talent, but
top
I mean,
10.
Eddie Van Halen.
Top 10.
I don't know.
All right, this thing.
I'll give him 7. You know who my all time rock? We're talking about rock guitarists now, right?
Okay.
We have time.
I only asked a simple question.
Hendrix, Beck, Clapton, Page. I'll go Eddie Van Halen.
Okay,
as 5.
There you have it.
All right.
Does anyone else have anything else to add before we wrap up this beautiful edition of our show, which happens every Monday? Native Son DC, nativesondc.com. Visit us every Monday. And also, please, if you want to have your questions read on the air, please email Matt at matt@nativesondc.com.
At Matt at. Yes. Matt at nativesondc.com. Okay, for everybody here in the room, that would be Matthew Yancey. Robert Klein, Aniko Ola, and that's me, Evan Revan Redman. This is the Native Son DC podcast. We are going to sign off here, and we're going to see what happens with the Washington football team. Who's going to be starting at quarterback? Looks like Kyle Allen Something to watch coming up, folks. Stay tuned for that. Again, thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Take care. When you're my woman taking up my time. Fun.